Grace and peace to each one of you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Good morning, Danville Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and we are a people, as you will find, of extravagant welcome. We are so glad that you are here with us today, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome in this space because this is God's house, and all people are welcome. A special welcome to those of you who may be visiting us for the first time or the first few times. You are our most honored guests, and we have a small token of our welcome to present to you as you leave the sanctuary this morning. One of our ushers will have a red bag filled with a few goodies that we would like to let you know. We are glad that you are here with us. My name is Todd Atkins-Whitley. I'm the associate pastor here at Danville Church. Our senior pastor, Reverend Eric Sherlock, is away this weekend and will be back in the office on Tuesday. Now's a good time to take those blue friendship pads that are at the ends of the pews, sign them, and mark your attendance so that we will know and will be able to rejoice that you are with us today. So please take those and pass those down the row. After our readings this morning, we are glad to invite our children to Holy Moly, and so there will be a mention of when it's time for you to leave for that, and then parents, please know that they will be brought back over into the sanctuary in time for communion. Here at Danville Church, we take very seriously the opportunity to pray for and with one another. In the pew in front of you are prayer request cards. If there's a joy or a concern that you would like held by the community this morning during our time of prayer, please fill one of those out, and we will include that in our prayer time this morning. And then following worship, we have a time of coffee, conversation, and community immediately behind us in Koinonia Hall. So a few announcements to make you aware of. Today's the last day, morning to sign up to take meals to Shelter Inc. this week, so I think we're still a few meals short, so if you would stop by and visit that table, if you're able to bring some food for that. The Ruby Slippers, the fundraiser for Contra Costa Interfaith Housing, is next weekend, so we invite you to join several DCC folks in supporting that great work by attending that event. Immediately after coffee hour. In fact, have some coffee and a snack and visit and then migrate on over to Kairos Hall where we are celebrating the expansion of the family of Megan and Emily Luther. We are so excited to be able to share this moment with you and enjoy brunch and fellowship and really cute presents. So we're really excited about that. Congratulations. You've noticed probably that your bulletin's a little thicker than usual. There are worship notes that go along with the service this morning. I encourage you to take those and read them, but not during the sermon. Maybe take them home with you and use this as a resource to go through your week. This is the second day of Black History, Black Futures Month, and so our services all month will be reflecting that theme. And so this is something that we can take and expand our knowledge, give us things to maybe go and look more into and pray about the work and the ministry and the life of this community. Next week will be our sister parish report. The third week, Pastor Eric will be preaching, and the fourth week, our youth will be leading the service. And so as you're planning out the weeks of the month that you may need to be somewhere else, I would encourage you to make all of these services, of course, but don't skip the one when our youth are leading. I encourage you to especially be present the last Sunday of the month. You'll also notice a list of books that can encourage us to learn more about Black history in this country. Some of those books are on a table in Koinonia Hall, and you are invited to check those out if you'd like, or make a list of your own of ones that you want to buy and start reading. And we've also got some new books back here in the children's area where the activity bags are. So there's a whole lot of books there that you might want to take home and check out. And so if there's a book that you want to check out, write your name on the clipboard and what the name of the book is, and then bring it back next week. Beloved friends, it is good and right that we are in this space together. Let us join our hearts and our minds in worship.
For our call to worship this morning, this side of the aisle, please read the left side, and that side, the right side. So all are invited to join in body and spirit and stand for our call to worship. Here on the pulse of this new day, you may have the grace to look up and out. And say simply, very simply, with hope,
good morning.
Come, let us worship God together. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another and pass the peace of Christ.
chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, known as the Beatitudes. We will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version.
When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then they began to speak and taught them, saying,
"Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account.
Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
May God add understanding to our reading and hearing of this ancient words.
Amen.
This morning's modern lesson is titled, "I Confess," written by Dr. Howard Thurman in 1953. Hear these words: "The concern which I lay bare before God today is my concern for the life of the world in these troubled times. I confess my own inner confusion as I looked out upon the world. There is food for all, many are hungry. There are clothes enough for all, many are in rags. There are room enough for all, many are crowded. There are none who want war, preparations for conflict abound. I confess my own share in these ills of the times. I have shirked my own responsibilities as a citizen. I have not been wise in casting my ballot. I have left others a real interest in making a public opinion worthy of democracy. I have been concerned about my own little job, my own security, my own shelter, my own bread. I have not really cared about the jobs of others, security for others, shelter for others, bread for others. I have not worked for peace. I want peace, but I have voted and worked for war. I have silenced my own voice that it may not be heard on the side of any cause, however right, if it meant running risk of damaging my own little reputation. Let that light burn in me that I may, for all this moment on, take effective steps within my own powers to live up to the light and courageously to pay for the kind of the world so I so deeply desire. May God hear the hearing of these words. Amen." Children fifth who would like to go to Holy Moly this morning, we invite you to meet your teachers in the back of the sanctuary at this time.
How did that happen?
There is something precious and powerful hearing children read the Word of God. Amen? Amen. At face value, ooh, that's a little hot, Jim. Could you turn me down just a little so I don't scare everybody? At face value, attitudes, they don't make sense, at least not in today's contemporary culture. Read more deeply in the socio-political context in which they were originally spoken from that mountainside, these countercultural words of Jesus are downright shocking. And yet, here in a section of words spoken by a first century revolutionary lies all we need to know about how to join the kingdom of heaven and achieve a state of supreme blessedness. That Beatitudes means supreme blessedness. And while we're at it, it teaches us how to topple earthly regimes that marginalize and oppress bodies and spirits while we're at it. Let's pray. Mother, Father, God, you have given me these words, and now I humbly offer them back to you. May the meditations of our hearts together in this space be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As Pastor Eric taught last week, with John imprisoned and awaiting his death, Jesus has resumed John's proclamation of the kingdom of heaven. Repent, Jesus said, for we are on the verge of something revolutionary. This kingdom of heaven, they proclaimed, was a direct, unabashed alternative to an empire that with great cruelty ruled the bodies and lives of people through fear and violence and even death to maintain their power through deep social stratification and control. Preached by a young Jewish prophet, the kingdom of heaven simultaneously constituted a renewal of a faith tradition that at its root was about God desiring to be in relationship with God's people and reconciling all people to God's self. Following the calling of the first disciples, I believe it's important to make note of whom Jesus spent his time with at the beginning of his ministry. We look back at chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. It says, Jesus teaching synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics and paralytics, and cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. In its earliest days, this is what the kingdom of heaven looked like. Jesus entering into relationship with those considered in that day to be the very lowest of society, people who were sick and in pain, people with mental health issues, people whose physical and mental condition deprived them of meaningful work, of relationship with their communities, and any semblance of dignity. And the text says, Jesus cured them, restored them to their livelihoods, to their families, to their lives, and word spread like wildfire. You see, this was revolutionary. This wasn't at all how society functioned, how people were treated. So naturally, people came by the multitudes. It is from this moment in Jesus' ministry that he began to teach the crowds. Right off the bat, Jesus declares that this new kingdom of heaven would go to the poor in spirit, not the rich,
not the powerful, not the ones at the top of society, but to the poor in spirit. This is the beginning of a revolution. Now, Luke's rendering of the Beatitudes stops at poor, but Matthew's version of this first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, is nuanced, extending beyond economic poverty. Matthew knows that his Jewish readers will appreciate Jesus' intentional allusion to the words of the prophet Isaiah and one of the psalmists who portray a God who is deeply concerned for those whose spirit is broken. God has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, says Isaiah. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit, says the psalmist. Have you ever looked into the eyes of someone whose spirit is crushed? I bet you have. I bet you've seen someone at the intersection holding a sign asking for food. Or you've been approached by a young mother on the BART asking for money to help feed her children. Or you've passed someone sitting on the sidewalk and beside them a trash bag full of all of their possessions. Did your heart discern their crushed spirit as you looked into their eyes? Or did you look away? One of the best pieces of pastoral advice I've received was while I was an intern at Glide Church in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco. To this day, I view the Tenderloin as a ground zero of sorts of people whose spirits are crushed. At the very beginning of my time there, Reverend Dr. Theon Johnson III sat me down and spoke to me very seriously, and he said, "Now, Todd, you are a pastor here at Glide Church, but you are also a pastor of the Tenderloin. Now, you can't help them all," he said, "but what you can do is this. When you pass by, look into their eyes and speak to them. Say hello. Ask them how they're doing if you have the time. You won't be able to help everyone, but you can do that." And so I did, on many walks from the BART to Glide and through the Tenderloin and back. And it broke my heart. Some folks I did say hi to, some I went and bought a Subway, some I gave whatever pocket change I had. Some folks shared their names with me and others just a bit of their story. And each time, a revolution quaked beneath my breast. Initially, I began to think, wow, what if that were me? What if that were one of my children? What if this is the path that my life had gone? Still deeper, this revolution rumbled. Why? Why was this their path and not mine? What happened that I am here and she is in that state? Was it sheer bad luck? Or was there something more sinister at play here? And as is the nature of revolutions, it exposed me to the truth. And I did not like it. I did not like the ugliness of the world it exposed, nor my own ignorance to the systems that left people crushed their spirits gasping, "I can't breathe." At times, if I'm honest, I wanted to turn away. I wanted to retreat back into the safety of my unknowing, to wave them off, to dismiss their travails as the result of their choices. But as it is with the truth, I could not. You see, Jesus' very first indication of supreme blessedness is a preferential option for those who line the streets of the Tenderloin, who live in tents beneath overpasses, for folks who, it must be pointed out, are overwhelmingly people of color, people who are sociological poor, those who are marginalized and oppressed, rendered vulnerable and given over to all sorts of hardships, people who are deprived of the basic dignities which they should be accorded, which should be accorded to all human beings, and their spirits are often crushed. They are brokenhearted as a result. Dr. Kyle Roberts, professor of public theology and church and economic life at United Theological Seminary of the Twin Cities, points out that when Jesus is talking about the poor, he is really talking about the poor of society who are brokenhearted and crushed by the way they are treated. And it is these very people, Jesus, again quoting Isaiah, says he is here to set free through the advent of the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is constituted through a revolution of love. Now, fast forward 19 centuries. A different empire and a different group of people, downtrodden, absented basic human rights, deeply oppressed. It is the middle of the 20th century, and another prophet is stirring a revolution, proclaiming the same countercultural ideal of the kingdom of heaven. He calls it the beloved community. According to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the beloved community is a realm where poverty, hunger, and homelessness are not tolerated because international standards of human decency, and I hasten to add, the church, will not allow it. Where racism and all forms of discrimination, bigotry, and prejudice will be replaced by an all-inclusive spirit of sisterhood and brotherhood. The economically and sociological poor are not only welcome in the beloved community, but the beloved community itself labors to break the cycles and interrupt the systems that keep people's spirits crushed. Reverend Dr. King firmly believed that if a critical mass of people committed themselves to this notion of cultivating and expanding and being the beloved community, then surely the kingdom of heaven would be realized. Therefore, preached Dr. King, God's kingdom, the beloved community, must come first. And echoing the words of Jesus, he reminded us, seek first the kingdom of God. And to what end? Although his life was cut short, Dr. King saw to what end. The end, he said, is reconciliation. The end is redemption. The end is the creation of the beloved community. It is this type of spirit and this type of love that can transform opponents into friends. It is this type of understanding goodwill that will transform the deep gloom of the old age into the exuberant gladness of the new. It is this love that will bring about miracles in the hearts of people. Though not explicitly named, the Beatitudes, these attitudes of being, undergird this notion of beloved community, even as Jesus frames them as the very qualities of the kingdom of heaven. Poet Chris Gohn says this: "The Beatitudes are 8 simple statements that contain something immensely powerful and dangerous. They are words that invert our power structures. They are subversive, insurgent, hope-filled. They sing to us of the best that we might become despite everything that gets in the way. The Beatitudes are inherently revolutionary. Gently, I think. And so I wonder, what if we read them literally? What if we practiced these attitudes of being? What if we embodied them and aspired to them even? What if we deeply mourned the situations that crush the spirits of others, lamented the realities of those who are held back, beaten, downtrodden? What if we yelled out, wept, beat our chests at the injustices in this world and our communities, at the plight of people whose spirits are crushed like lungs that cannot breathe? What if we practiced meekness? Not as ambivalence or neutrality, but as a deliberate way of being that emits a transformative power of its own. If we engaged in intentional acts of kindness, not to make ourselves feel better, but to model this way of being that Jesus put forward, one person, one relationship at a time, all with great intention toward cultivating the kingdom Jesus prayed come. What if we, above all else, hungered and thirsted for right relationship with others? And that hunger and that thirst, that desire compelled us to, instead of looking away, to meet the eyes of others, to see their crushed spirit, but also their determination and their dignity, desiring above all to know them through their histories and their stories. Where, for example, more than the desire to binge watch the latest Netflix show to drop, we desired to know why the Greensboro Four sat at that lunch counter 60 years ago and refused to leave. What were they hungering and thirsting for? And what does that have to do with the kingdom of heaven? If we persisted in showing mercy, doing justice, working for peace, even in spite of the world mocking us, or worse, perhaps the experience of ceding our position or our privilege because of it. Strong words, huh? Revolutionary words. Difficult words, yes. But, says Jesus, to those who live in such attitudes, great is our reward in the kingdom of heaven. Black History Month invites us to know the history, the experiences, the contributions of a group of people historically oppressed by this country, who built this country, and be aware of the systems designed to continue oppression. Black Futures Month, I believe, picks up where Jesus left off. Blessed are those who envision and construct a world where black people, where all people are liberated, for they shall experience in real time the kingdom of heaven. You see, Jesus had no problem targeting his message of hope toward those who find themselves crushed in spirit by unjust systems of society. And still today, Jesus calls his disciples to work at dismantling those systems. Preserved for us all these years, the Beatitudes remind us that our work as disciples of this radical prophet is to interrogate the world around us with the truth of a gospel that sets people free, ourselves and others, to embody a countercultural way of being that breaks chains, those that imprison, separate, and crush. And from this revolution of values, a revolution characterized by love and kindness and justice, emerges the beloved community, the kingdom of heaven in our midst. Blessed are those who know that we're not free until all of us are free. May it be so, and long live the revolution that brings forth the kingdom of heaven. Amen. invite our ushers to come forward and collect the prayer requests that you have this morning. Let us join now in the solidarity of prayer with a moment of silence. Holy God, we sense you in the stillness. We sense you with us now, and we pray to you because we know, we believe, we trust that you hear the prayers of your people. We acknowledge the things that we've kept in the silence of our hearts, the things that are too difficult for words. And we offer you those, all of those things, knowing that you will hold them with us, that you will answer our prayers. God, this morning we bring forward these prayers. Amy asks prayers of comfort for her friend, Echo Brown, whose brother died suddenly. God, in your mercy. Mary Kay writes prayers of support for my friend Jane in New Mexico, whose husband is nearing the end of dementia and whose brother is facing serious back surgery. God, in your mercy. Serene and Tahir write, we celebrate our daughter Shea graduating from nursing school. Prayers that she finds the right job as she embarks on her next journey. God, in your mercy and grace. Prayers of comfort for Laura and Sean Haley, young adults who lost their mother far too soon. God, in your mercy. Prayers for Bill Armstrong, who is having a mass removed from his throat tomorrow morning and undergoing further tests to understand his health condition. We also pray for his husband, Tim, and for a positive outcome. God, in your mercy and healing. Zora shares gratitude to all who prayed with my family for the safe arrival of our newest member. God, in your great love, hear our prayer. God of the prophets, God of Christ, we are reminded today that your blessings do not necessarily follow the logic of the world. The world believes that the rich are blessed, but Jesus reminds us that it is the poor who are blessed, the poor in spirit and the materially poor as well. We pray for a more just world in which all have enough and none are left behind. Though we fear death and avoid its inevitable arrival, Jesus tells us that those who mourn are blessed. Help us to experience the truth of this mystery. Bring healing and wholeness to those who are sick, and comfort those of us who have lost loved ones. While people covet power, Jesus blesses the meek. Instruct us, O God, in the ways of humility. Help us to stand in solidarity with the oppressed and marginalized. Show us your presence in the faces of those the world forgets. Give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Fill our hearts with love, overflowing with mercy. Make our hearts pure and give us a vision of your glory. In a society divided by race, gender, class, ideology, sexual orientation, and so many other labels we alone have created, remind us that we are created in your image. Each of us a beautiful reflection of you. Each of us your beloved child. Help us then to end our conflicts and wars. Help us to be peacemakers and agents of reconciliation. Gracious God, you have so richly blessed us with life, with love and joy, with hope in the midst of despair. Help us to be the salt of the earth. Help us to be the light of the world, sharing with others that which we have received, boldly proclaiming the good news of your love, finding the seeds of your kingdom within us, and letting your way grow in our lives and throughout the world. Give us eyes to see the ways you are changing the world in which we live. Give us ears to hear your call to join with you in this great revolution. Hear us now, O God, as we pray for the coming of your kingdom, following Jesus as he taught us to pray. Our loving God, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
God has led us to this place to heal and inspire us, to gently redirect us, until we see the world as God does and love it with God's love. With our gifts, we affirm that God's generosity can make us all into a new creation by the way we give of ourselves. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
Let us pray. Liberator Christ, you went to the top of a mountain and taught a sacred word about the meek and the grief-stricken, about the lost and the lonely. Come to this place now, and by these gifts, help us to see the world not as it is, but as it could be, that we may become good news to all. Amen.
You may be seated. Community of saints, beloveds of God, we are invited to come and gather at this table of love and liberation, to feast on the dreams of God, to be nourished by but a taste of what God desires to do through and among us. God calls us forth from the halls of institutional power, from shelters and the streets. God calls us from classrooms and pulpits, from godly play into this space, from church buildings, from prison cells. God calls us where we are, from wherever we are, to come and be in solidarity with Christ, who lives and loves on the margins. God whispers, come and live life abundantly, turning from all that claims blessings flow from money, power, or control. Come, he beckons, love relentlessly, following Christ on paths of uncertainty, taking risks for one another, calling down unjust power from its throne, and lifting up the lowly, the impoverished, the burdened. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. Let us pray. Liberating God, to answer the call of Christ is to find ourselves, no matter our social location, choosing to align ourselves with the causes of the marginalized, the oppressed, the outcast, the isolated, with the faith that together we might enflesh new possibilities of healing, of connection, of freedom from all that destroys. These are the desires of our hearts, and we open ourselves to you, O God. Blessed are those, Jesus said, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. May we come to this table expectant, eager, open to tasting the rich blessings of heaven, born from unexpected places and people and experiences. And may we be filled with the desire for justice and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. In this meal, we remember the life, death, and resurrection of the one who still takes on flesh among us today. We remember on the night he would be arrested, Jesus gathered with his friends and his companions. In the midst of a tense and dangerous time, they found each other at the table, connecting over the story of God enfleshed among them. And as they did so, Jesus took bread from the table and he blessed it and he broke it and he passed it to each one of them and said, "Take and eat, taste and see, this is my body." And each time you partake, remember me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he blessed it, gave thanks to God, and shared with his disciples. And he said, "Drink of this, all of you. This is my life, the source of the new covenant. Drink it, and each time you do, remember me." And so we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, breath of God, renewer of life, settle on these gifts and all who gather here, that we might be transformed in our remembrance of your radical love, your eternal embrace, and your grace that makes all things new. For the sake of our shared lives, for the life of this land on which we live, and the lives of those yet to come, nourish us and renew our hope that soon Christ may rise again among us. Amen. Invite those who will be serving us this morning to come forward. I want to let you know that this table that we have prepared is an open table. You need not be a member of this church or any church to partake. You don't need proof of membership, proof of citizenship. You don't need a driver's license and things showing your age. This table, this is prepared for everyone. And you are most welcome at it. This morning we will practice communion together. We will all be in the pews. The ushers will pass forward trays of bread. If you need gluten-free, please raise your hand and someone will come and offer you that. And then once everyone has been served, we will all partake the bread together. And then we will pass the cups and I will invite you to receive it as soon as it is handed to you. My friends, the meal has been prepared. Let us taste and see. My friends, taste and see. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for meeting us at this table of liberation and grace. May we go forth filled with the desire to work for justice and peace. And all the people said, Amen. Thank you. Join me in the benediction printed on page 5. Almighty God, source of true justice and peace, in you there is no distinction of persons, for in you we are equally loved. Reconcile us that we may live and work with each other and with you to establish your kingdom on earth where there is no poverty, war, or any oppression. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And by trusting in God, you may overflow with hope and the desire to seek justice through the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.